Good morning, everyone. First of all, it gives me great pleasure to welcome Reverend Mark Borgone to our pulpit once again. He is no stranger to our congregation, and we are thrilled to have him here in Reverend Adams' absence today. Just a couple of announcements for you. I'd like to highlight the Welcome to Summer Supper. It will be on June 22nd, and plans are underway. I know Trish and Chuck are working really hard to get this thing together, so thank you. And tickets are on sale in the McClellan Room afterwards and also in the office. And Vina is here 10 to 2, Tuesday to Friday. And, of course, we are also undertaking a Toonie tabletop. That fundraiser is to help with our budget for the year, so if you've got extra spare Toonies, go on and see us in the back at the McClellan Room. If you have a high school graduate in your family, please do let us know, either the office, myself, or Trish. We will be celebrating them in a few weeks. Next week, we'll be celebrating the 1784 event that is happening in and around Cornwall to celebrate 240 years. And we'll have a service next Sunday called a covenanting service. And I've seen plans, and it looks very interesting, so I hope you'll all join us for that. We are in search of some people to help after service. As you can see, our piano is still in the center of the sanctuary. If you are able, at the end of the service for just a few minutes, we would need to lift it and put it back where it belongs. So if you can help, thank you very much. And then finally, thank you very much to the Ferguson family for hosting Reverend Dent and Lynn last week. I had an opportunity to speak to them this week, and they thoroughly enjoyed their afternoon. So thank you to all of you for doing that. And again, thanks, Reverend Mark.
Thank you, Cynthia. Good morning. As is the custom here at St. John's, we light the candle to show that Christ is the light of the world, and he's here with us in our worship. Our call to worship is on the screen. Please stand. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God, for he is a gracious, and a song of praise is fitting. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds.
Great is our Lord and abundant in power.
Praise the Lord. Let us gather in prayer. Let us pray. Mighty God, we do indeed praise you with heart and voice, for you are the source of life, and by you all life is sustaining. You have made known your love and power in Jesus Christ, entering the darkness of our world with healing light and redeeming grace. In him you set captives free, defeating the powers of oppression, sin and evil, demons and death. Through Christ you continue to come to save us and the world you love. Heal us, we pray, and fill us with the same Holy Spirit that empowered Jesus, that we may be enabled to participate in his ongoing saving work. Amen. Our opening hymn is hymn 490, God of Grace and God of Glory.
Glory.
Although not in your bulletin, I did do a prayer of confessions, and it will be in unison, and it will be on the screen. Let us pray. Compassionate God, we make a confession trusting in your love and your power to forgive and save. We need the healing of Jesus, for we confess that evil assaults us and makes inroads into our lives. Evil such as pride and self-righteousness, selfishness and lust for power, fear and self-indulgence, which threaten our health of spirit, soul, and body. Greed also presses upon us, tempting us to accumulate money or property and possessions far beyond our need. We find the spirit of self-giving and generosity within us fading. When we consider the trials and troubles in our personal lives, in the church, and in society, we confess our lack of confidence that we can resist evil influences within and without. Forgive our lack of faith and trust, and forgive us when we avoid others who are in need because we are uncomfortable, those distressed and confused, those sick and suffering in spirit, mind, heart, or body. Heal us and restore us in a right spirit. This we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God in Christ has saved us from the effects of our sins. In Jesus' sacrificial life and death, and in his glorious resurrection, the evil powers of darkness, destruction, and death have been defeated. By his stripes, we are healed and liberated. Thanks and praise be to God. Our hymn is hymn 485, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us.
Thank you.
Now, if the young people will come up, I've got a story for you. Please sit on this side, over on that side. Oh, on the other side, please. I hear there's a special place I have to stand so that the camera can catch me and the people at home can see me also. Anyhow, how are you this morning?
Good.
Now, I brought a tree branch with me this morning. Have you ever seen these?
Yeah, some make firework.
Sometimes you use to make it firework. How did I get the tree branch? Yes. Well, I didn't pull it off a tree, but the wind knocked it down.
That's what I was about to say.
Now, if the wind is strong enough, it can even break big branches off trees or even knock trees over. You know, from a tree's point of view, they probably figure it would be better if there was no wind at all. So scientists started thinking, oh, maybe that's true. Because with the wind, you know, it always bothers the tree. It blows through the leaves and that and makes the branches go back and forth, even if it doesn't break them. So some years ago, scientists tried out an experiment. And they built a huge clear dome to enclose an area where animals and trees and other plants live. Light could come into the space. Air could come in, but over the top, not straight across. So there'd be no wind. And you know, at first the trees did very well. They grew tall. The branches shot out. And some of the trees even produced fruit. However, when the fruit got a bit bigger, the branches broke because they weren't strong enough to hold the fruit. Trees need the wind because the wind allows the branches to blow back and forth, gain some strength, and become more flexible. You know, we're a bit like trees. We might not like it if bad things or troubles come our way. We may feel hurt if others tease us for believing in God and for always wanting to do things God's way. We may be pushed around by difficult people, but we don't have to be afraid. These troubles can make us stronger if we keep trusting in Jesus. In the New Testament book of Romans, we hear that we can rejoice when we run into troubles because they will make us strong inside. God will be with us to face all the troubles we face. And when we see how God helps us through one problem, all the other problems don't seem all that bad. The more we see how God helps us, the more we trust in God. Let us say a little prayer. Dear God, thank you for loving us. Stay with us in every trouble and every bad thing we face. Show us how strong we can be when you are with us. Amen. And now you can go to your Sunday school classes. Oh, gracious God, show yourself to us and guide us by your Spirit of truth, that we may hear and keep your commandments. Reveal yourself through the Scriptures in fresh and vital ways. Invest us with the power to speak and to act in your name, and for the sake of Jesus, your Son and our Savior. Amen.
Good morning. Our first reading comes from Deuteronomy chapter 5, reading verses 28 to 33. Let us hear the word of God. The Lord heard your words when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, I have heard the words of this people, which they have spoken to you. They are right in all that they have spoken. If only they had such a mind as this, to fear me and to keep all my commandments always, so that it might go well with them and with their children forever. Go say to them, return to your tents. But you, stand here by me, and I will tell you all the commandments, the statutes, and the ordinances that you shall teach them, so that they may do them in the land that I am giving them to possess. You must therefore be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn to the right or to the left. You must follow exactly the path that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land that you are to possess. Our second reading is a responsive reading, Psalm 42 and 43. The words will appear before you on the screens, and I invite you to join me in the responsive portions. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God.
My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God?
My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, where is your God?
These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng and led them in a procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude-keeping festival.
Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help.
My soul is cast out within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon and Mount Massa.
Deep calls to deep at the thunder of your cataracts. All your waves and your billows have gone over me.
By day the Lord commands in his steadfast love. And at night,
I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk about mournfully because the enemy oppresses me? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you cast me off? Why must I walk about mournfully because of the oppression of the enemy? Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God.
Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me?
O God, I shall again praise you, my God and my God.
Our third reading comes from Galatians chapter 3. Reading verses 23 to 29. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian, for in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Let us join together in singing hymn number 730, Oh, for a world where everyone respects each other's way. The words will appear before you on the screen.
Our gospel reading for today is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. When they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee, as he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. It was under guard. He was under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there were on the hillside a large herd of swine that was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and a herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swine herd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And they came out to Jesus, and they found a man with whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by the demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for for they were seized with great fear. So he got in the boat and returned. The man from whom all the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. Amen. Thanks be to God for his word to us. The words I proclaim to you now, I do so in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And today's reading from Paul's letter to the Galatians, we encounter a pretty well-known verse. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Well, my friends, this has implications for us as church and as individuals. And we will explore these implications later. To begin with, let's look at the background of this passage. Galatians was written by Paul to the churches in the Roman province of Galatia. Paul had a hand in establishing those churches. So he is writing to people he knows in places he had been at least once. As always, Paul writes to address a problem. It seems that these churches were made up of different ethnic groups. Including in the mix are many Gentile converts to Christianity, as well as Jews. Now, Paul preached to all of them a gospel of justification by faith in Christ Jesus. We are justified, made right, forgiven by our faith in Christ, which leads us to live a life based on the way Jesus lived, ethical, moral, and sacrificial. All we need is faith to enter this new life of Christian. However, some people arriving later taught otherwise. They taught that, you know, in order to become a Christian, you first had to become a Jew with all the requirements of the law which pertain to Judaism. Well, Paul couldn't disagree more. The law never saved anyone, he claims. Only faith in Christ can do that. Why be slaves to a bunch of rules and traditions which don't accomplish anything when you can be free through the life of the Spirit, which comes through faith in Christ Jesus? It's within this context of freedom versus the law that this passage is written. This passage is written in such a way that you can feel the two opposing sides as you read it, before and after. Before, there was the law. By the time Paul was writing, the law was a very complex set of instructions governing virtually every part of daily life. It was seen as a way to live as God wanted. There were a lot of restrictions placed upon the people in order for them to live by the law. They had to act certain ways at certain times and in certain situations. And if they didn't, then they were breaking the law. And as a result, they were sinning. And they were cut off from God until they made up. But the only way to make up was to follow what the law prescribed to do. The law was very good at setting up divisions between people. Who's in and who's out is obvious. Natural genetic Jews were in first place. Converts to Judaism were in second place. And Gentiles, which meant basically everyone else who did not first fit in the first two categories, were outcasts. They were out. Though, after Christ, there was freedom. They were no longer chained by the rules. They were no longer being held hostage emotionally and spiritually by the law. Imagine the freedom of finding out that if you break a law, you are not finished. God still loves you. You're okay because of your faith. You still have to live a moral and ethical life, mind you. You can't do whatever pleases you. But when you do sin, God is waiting with open arms to forgive you. How refreshing. Also, after Christ, people who are not genetically Jewish are no longer left on the outside. Through faith, all are heirs to the promises of God. And that's especially important to the Gentile Christians to whom Paul is writing. They are just as included as the Jewish Christians in the kingdom of God. All Christians are one in Christ. Now the old distinctions don't matter anymore. Instead, the Christians can focus on their new relationship with God. They don't have to expend their energy at all on figuring out who's who, who's in, who's out. They can work at living a Christ-like life. According to Paul, the turning point between before and after is baptism. Because at baptism, we are clothed in Christ. We are changed, given new life, and expected to live for Christ thereafter. Baptism is the entry into a new Christian community, after which no one is ever the same. Now, with this newfound freedom in this passage, there's also a warning. You've changed. Don't go back to the old ways. They didn't work. They didn't bring you to where you are now as a new creation in relationship with the one true God. Faith and grace did that. Hold on to them. Let God do the saving and justifying, not yourselves. As hard as it might be, don't go back. This was Paul's message to the churches in Galatia almost 2,000 years ago. So you might say, what does it have to say to us today? Well, I'm sure we can identify with certain things happening in Galatia. Oh, we don't have people here trying to convince us that we have to follow the Jewish law. We don't have a terribly mixed congregation in terms of Jews on this side and Gentiles on the other. I know, those are terms that don't mean much to us now. But we do have a point of identification. We too are clothed in Christ. We too experience baptism and rebirth. Baptism was the entry point for each of us into the church and the life we call Christian. We also have a sense of before and after. We're no longer under the law. And I'm not talking about the Jewish law, but society's law. An unspoken hidden law. A law that says you're the most important person in the world and your needs must come first. A law that says spend, spend, spend. A law which places personal freedom and rights above everything else. Think about our society as reflected in the media and all around us. There's all kinds of pressure, of peer pressure to conform. We see myriads of marketing ploys to get our money. We're told our traditions and proper ways to act. And you know, if people don't follow these unwritten laws, they're either pushed to the side or forgotten. We have to dress the part, or we won't be taken seriously. As Christians, we have freedom in the Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean the freedom to do whatever we want, but we are free to live for God. We are also free to love our neighbors as ourselves, to bear one another's burdens, to be helpful, and to do good to all people. We're free to forget about protocol or tradition when the need arises, in order for us to focus on Christ-like behavior. We can love our neighbor, even though the society in which we live tells us otherwise. We're free to give, which goes against the hoarding mentality of many. We can inconvenience ourselves for the sake of someone else, even if this goes against society. And like the well-known passage about Greek and Jew, slave and free, we are also to refrain from focusing on our distinctions and differences. You know, maybe for us, that verse should read, no longer richer and poor, no longer farmer and businessman, no longer lay and clergy, no longer young and old. We are equals and more. Oh, the old distinctions are still there, but they don't matter. We don't dwell on them and get caught up in them. It's not who's who that matters, but Christ in me and Christ in you. Now we can deal with each other on a new level as one in Christ. That implies respect, honesty, trust, and real equality. My friends, the old is gone. Everything is made new. And you know, we too face the warning of not going back to the old ways. We should know that they don't work. We should not be spending our energy trying to justify ourselves and live up to society's standards. We can't do it anyhow. Instead, we're to hold on to faith and grace. We are to cling to Christ and live in the Spirit. I realize, however, that as imperfect creatures, the old ways still assail us. And at times, they lay claim to us. As a result, there are some questions that we might ask ourselves. Who do you know that you have a hard time treating as one in Christ? What tempts you the strongest to revert back to the old ways, the ways of society? Where are the new ways of love and spirit manifest in your life? In closing, remember the verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. My friends, God loves each and every one of you, not just specific ones. And he calls us to live love in the same way. It's my sincere prayer that you will always strive to follow the new way, the way of love. Amen. And now unto God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. We are so blessed, my God. We have been given many resources that we may join with Christ in his saving mission to the world. Keeping this in mind, let us present our tithes and our offerings. life-saving God, we pray that the grace of your love be poured out particularly upon the suffering ones in this world. Use this offering to invade the darkness of poverty and homelessness, injustice and oppression, sickness and confusion with the powerful light of your presence. Help us to be light bearers with Jesus in your mission. Amen. In our closing hymn is hymn 471. We are one in the Spirit. Before we proceed to the benediction, I skipped over the prayers of the people, so I will go with that right now. So please be seated. And let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Penetrating God, your love has a reach that spans the frontiers of your creation, that reaches through and beyond the traditional boundaries of time and space, even of life and death. You are prepared to deal with even the darkest dungeons for the sake of restoring life and health and conscious connectedness with you. We thank you for the threefold ministry of Jesus, for his teaching, his preaching, and his healing with compassion and power. We thank you that you still come in Christ to heal the sins, sorrows, and sicknesses of the poorest, the lowliest, the most rejected among us. And we pray for the power in the name of Jesus to deliver the possessed, to heal the sick in spirit, mind, heart, or body. Merciful God, we pray for the gift of faith in those who want to believe there is a saving, healing power at work in their lives and in the world. We pray for the suffering, that they come to know by experience the loving, healing touch of Jesus. Lord God, we pray for the residents of the Dev Hotel and all other newcomers here to Canada, that they may be made welcome, and we pray also for their families. We pray for the inbreaking of the powerful Spirit of Jesus among the world's people, among the world's nations, to bring healing and wholeness and order where there is chaos and peace. Where there's chaos, bring peace. Where there's... Lord God, we pray for ourselves, for willingness to go with Jesus to minister peace and healing to those on society's edges, today's outcasts and disenfranchised. We pray for trust that you prepare us for the ministry to which you call us, equipping us with all that we need, and for the endurance to walk in the new way set by Christ, the way of love, so that none will be ignored by us for earthly distinctions. And Lord God, on this special day, General Assembly Sunday, we pray for the assembly and all those gathered there, that they may see your wish for our denominations as we go into the future. Lord, we pray for the commissioners, especially for our minister, the Reverend Robert Adams, who is a commissioner there, and for his daughter, Mariah Adams, who is a young adult representative. We pray that they will get a lot out of this assembly and come back more prepared to serve in the church. All these thanksgivings and petitions we bring to you in the name of our saving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now you may stand for the benediction. As disciples of Jesus, go out into the darkness with the light and power of Christ. Go to share God's healing word and to do God's healing work, that prisoners may be set free to give glory to God. And may the blessing of God, whose name is salvation, whose nature is eternal love, and whose power is supreme, rest upon you all this day and forevermore. Amen.